Happy Monday morning, everybody, and welcome to the latest installment of the Cyclone Fanatic podcast here at CycloneFanatic.com. Today's podcast, of course, brought to you by our good friends at the Iowa Clinic Men's Center, iamenscenter.com. We got that urgent care open now in Ankeny, got one open in West Des Moines. Check them out. Good flexible hours, 7 days a week. Iowa Clinic, iamenscenter.com. Lots to get to today. We will recap Iowa State TCU. We won't spend too much time on that because clearly we need to get to tonight's matchup between the Iowa State Cyclones and the Kansas Jayhawks. We do not have the new rankings yet. Rob Gray, our senior writer, is here this morning. Rob, rankings have not come out yet, so we'll refrain from having that conversation. We'll update the website as soon as all that good stuff happens. But how are you, my friend? You're on your way to Lawrence, right, when we get done recording, correct?
Yes. Just a couple errands for the family, a little bread and milk, and then, change of clothes and head on out on the road.
It's going to be a fun game tonight. It's garnering a lot of national attention too, I think, because of the recent history between these two teams, really since the Hoiberg era began. Take away that year one, but these two teams not only put on close games generally, regardless of where they're playing, but very entertaining basketball games. I think we saw one of those a couple weeks ago in Ames. And tonight will be interesting. Let me throw this one out to you to start. I thought Kirk Howland made a nice point in his piece, in his preview today. You can read that. It's on our front page right now. But Kirk points out, the transition game for Iowa State was so key when Iowa State defeated Kansas a couple weeks ago. Iowa State, 21 fast break points to 10 by the Kansas Jayhawks. You saw an annoyed Bill Self post game with Cliff Alexander, I thought, which is why he pulled him out of that basketball game. Kirk makes a good point. Doubt that happens again tonight. Iowa State's going to have to be good in the half court. And, let's be frank, they're going to have to make some shots, How do you take that? I don't see Iowa State having a plus 11 advantage there tonight, do you?
No, I agree. And you can also check out my preview and your preview at CycloneFanatic.com.
Absolutely.
As well.
We got a lot of them.
But a great point by Kirk there, because Kansas isn't Kansas because they don't learn lessons.
Correct.
And the lesson they felt that they learned from that game is they just didn't try hard enough. The glaring thing was the way Iowa State just consistently beat them down the floor, even after made baskets.
Mm-hmm.
And Monte Morris told us after the game that he saw that he'd saw on film that Kansas wasn't getting back in transition very well. That's kind of a wake-up call for them. Iowa State talks about wake-up calls and some of these losses and all that, and I know it's maddening to some fans. Coach Hoiberg used the word maddening once to talk about some aspects of struggles amid an excellent season thus far. So, they're going to have to. I found it interesting that they chose, to go half court a couple times down the stretch at TCU. Frequently, they don't change who they are when they're up like that. They use some clock. They calmed it down. They got great shots out of those possessions too. I don't think that's because, hey, we're looking ahead. Obviously, you're thinking, okay, let's get this game over with. But at the same time, what great little bit of practice, whereas half court against some of those other teams didn't necessarily go so well, particularly in the losses. So, have to be proficient there. Have to have Naz Long or somebody else along the perimeter knock down some shots. Maybe we talked about this before the TCU game. Maybe the bright lights are going to appeal to Matt Thomas tonight. We'll see. I mean, if he can come in and get a good look right away, look out. I mean, it should be a great game.
Abdul Nader likes the road.
Yes.
I feel like he's a guy who he's having a weird season for Iowa State, and I don't mean that in a bad way because he stepped up really when they – in the most important of times when they've needed him the most, it seems like Abdul Nader always appears.
Yeah. He's very active, too.
Yeah.
I mean, you'll get the wild, crazy turnover, but you also get some really nice little baseline moves.
Yeah.
Occasionally the three's falling for him. The active on the boards, too, which is great to have when, say, you're resting Dustin Hogue and the likes.
I think a strong sign that things are going well for Iowa State, that things have kind of leveled out after that Texas Tech game. Clearly the two W's, but those were at home. But what I like, though, is a trend that George Niang and Bryce DeJean Jones kind of seem like they're back into that mode. You know, think back to some of Iowa State's better games this year, Arkansas. You know, we talked about this last week. I like it when those two guys are your top two guys and everybody else can kind of just, you know, do what they do very well around them. Niang, you know, in Iowa State's losses this year has not been very good. That's a trend. And Bryce DeJean Jones just named the newcomer of the week for the third time this season. So, to me, that's why I feel like Iowa State's in a good spot right now, because you're seeing that trend where those two guys are kind of your primary dudes, and everybody else can – there's less pressure on a Monte Morris to have to score. I think Monte's going to have a big game tonight if Iowa State wins, clearly. But Bryce DeJean Jones, though, I know you talked to him after the game on Saturday. He two games in a row now, Rob, where he's looked like Bryce DeJean Jones from the non-conference. What kind of a feel did you get from him?
Yeah, he's feeling really comfortable. He takes these shots, though, that look like they're high degree of difficulty. He'll back a guy in. It's mm-hmm. kind of a one-on-one. He'll shoot a little 14-foot fade.
Yeah.
And it seems like, man, that you know, it would be so much easier to just hit that spot up three every there. But he said that's just kind of – those are shots he's been making his whole life, kind of going back yeah. to informal games, formal games, and that actually puts him in his comfort zone to get in and drop those fadeaways down. And clearly it's worked. I mean, 5 of 7, 5 of 6 from the field the last two games. It continues to be a force
yet he's
on the offensive glass.
People still calling him a ball hog.
They are. I mean, and he's attempted 13. And even in those games where he struggled, and Coach Hoiberg said after the game, I thought it was very telling, how he thought that he could have managed his time better. Some of those games where he was not on the floor down the stretch, he thought he'd tired him out too much. And DeJean Jones kind of, you know, poo-pooed that a little bit by saying, hey, whenever he wants me out there, I'll be out there.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, I think it's a great point by you that those guys need to be sort of the standard bearers, or the guys that are advancing the cause in the scoring department. Because it does allow, as you said, those players to fulfill their roles to perfection.
Yeah, because Naz is much better when he can be floater Naz, right?
Yeah, he doesn't like he's got to be the guy. That's Texas Tech was a game where how many times were guys trying to hit the home run? You know, mm-hmm. it's got to be a three here, a three here. No, it can't be. We've seen what they can do when they actually take it into the paint against anybody.
Yeah.
They can outdo teams down there.
I'll give Naz credit. He's shown the ability this year to put the ball on the floor and to mm-hmm. do some things that his game wouldn't allow him to do the last 2 years. But you don't necessarily want him doing that against a Kansas too, though.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Unless it's totally in the flow.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It doesn't have to be, oh my gosh, we need Naz to put it on the floor and facilitate.
You know what I'm saying.
You want it to be George doing it inside the free throw line. You want it to be.
If Monte Morris has a wide open three, you want him to take it. You don't want Monte to have to force wide open threes and do stuff like that. So, I like where they're at right now, Rob. I like where Iowa State's at mentally. This is a team that they like. They like big spots, and tonight's a big spot. And I know Kansas is a good basketball team. I know that they've only lost 9 games in Allen Fieldhouse in the Big 12 since the league was formed. But I still maybe it's stupid, but I have a good feeling for Iowa State tonight. You know, it's foolish for anybody to pick against Kansas in Allen Fieldhouse ever. But I just. You know, and chances are, I mean, if you go by Vegas, KenPom, all those things, it points to a Kansas win tonight. I totally get that. I respect that. But I just like where Iowa State is at mentally right now at this moment. I think they have a chance tonight.
No, I like their mental edge right now too. And sometimes, back to the maddening part, you need a game like Texas Tech to sharpen that mental approach. I mean, it's every team that it happens to. There isn't a team that escapes that feeling of a letdown kind of thing, and where they go out there every now and then. They sort of have a feel where that there's that quiet swagger about them. It's sort of like they did going into the Big 12 tournament last year.
Mm-hmm.
They sort of seem to have that feel about themselves. I mean, and obviously you don't want to peak at the beginning of February, and I think this team can peak multiple times. It's not a matter of anything like that. I like where they're at too. I still Fog Allen Fieldhouse, man. They've won 127 of their last 130 there. I presume one of those losses, considering that many games, might be that 2005 Morgan.
The Curtis Stinson, Will Blaylock team.
Yeah. So Iowa State's been the team that's been the thorn in their side. You know, three of those wins in the
three
nine.
Three of the nine.
Yeah, three of the nine. And, of course, they had the five-game win streak. When they go back, which is just wild.
Should have had
sweep
the one 2 years ago.
Back to back, yeah.
The Macklemore Bank.
Yep.
And then last year's game, you know, it's a little bit fuzzy to me, but if I recall, Iowa State was down early, came back.
Niang kept him in it.
Yeah. Niang played his butt off last year, and Iowa State, I think, lost by nine, but it was kind of closer game than the scoreboard would have indicated the whole time. But I found it was interesting, Rob, that from your advance, my column on the game, and I also read Randy Peterson's at the Des Moines Register. We all found our friend Sean Keeler's quote from postgame of Kansas's win over Kansas State, and we all gravitated to the Kelly Oubre and Wayne Selden quotes on "We owe them."
Yeah,
from Kansas guys saying that they owe Iowa State. Now this is interesting to me because Iowa State fan, listen, you got to realize Kelly Oubre has only played Iowa State one time. That team beat him, right? Mm-hmm. So of course he's going to feel that. But I can just sense Iowa State fans all throughout our great state going, what, Kansas owes us?
Yeah, the
what?
No chart, the Elijah Johnson bowling into George Niang, the whiffy like, phantom foul deal that goes to,
I kind of feel like Iowa State owes Kansas. But nonetheless, I think it's an interesting point of how Kansas is viewing this game tonight. And this is the first time, I don't think this is a rivalry yet because I don't think Kansas's fans necessarily view Iowa State as a rival. But when you start to read quotes like this, and if Iowa State could somehow put one in the win column tonight, I think you're ready to roll, baby. I think this is roll your sleeves up, get some popcorn, and watch these two teams go at it for the next few years.
Yeah, if they are able to pull that win out, I'm a little bit more skeptical than you, but I think they'll perform. They're going to show up, and it's going to be one of those games to remember one way or another. And I certainly don't discount all the factors going in point to Iowa State being in there with a chance at the end, and then who knows. But it is interesting because you go back to when the Cyclones won the game in Ames Royce year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They faced Kansas in the Big 12 tournament, and Kansas's guys, granted it was a bit more of a veteran team. They had more four-year guys in there and all that, but their demeanor going into that game was just like, yeah, right, they think they're going to beat us here.
Mm-hmm. Now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right, yeah. Very quiet, confident, that same quiet swagger you see a little bit with Iowa State right now. Whereas Iowa State was talking about owing things. You know, mm-hmm. It's like, hey, you know, we feel like we should have had the one at Lawrence too. You know, yeah. I mean, and all kinds of stuff. And Kansas went out and won that game. Whereas last year, the Cyclones truly dismantled them. Granted, no Joel Embiid in the Big 12 tournament, but really took it to them there in their backyard at the Sprint Center, and then, you know, controlled the game, beat mm-hmm. them up and down the floor there in Ames, and now all of a sudden they're on a two-game win streak against Kansas, which is, granted, one of those wins isn't at Lawrence yet, but it's not very often. They've lost two in a row to anyone in the league. So there's a little bit more of that, I don't want to say doubt, on the side of Kansas players, but that little bit of we got to prove ourselves against Iowa State versus it being the other way around.
Yeah, and I think just the fact that, excuse me, that's Fanatics, you may have just heard the Hip-Hop Hooray song in the background. I went to Iowa State's ESPN.com page because I was going to pull up a stat in the Fred Hoiberg dance video.
I thought you were going to vote.
Yeah, the Fred Hoiberg dance video just happened to pop up. No, it will be fun tonight. You've never covered a game there, Rob. I know you were saying that last week. You will enjoy it. I can guarantee you that. Let's quickly commentate on what we saw Saturday. To me, it was about what I expected. I thought Iowa State would start slow against TCU just because they do. They play to the they come out of the gates a lot of times to the opponent, you know, the name on the front of the jersey, and you saw that again. But what this is another reason why when I say I think Iowa State's in a good spot, I love how they reacted. They went to the locker room. They came out with fire. They defended really well in the second period. They hit some shots. They really got to finally put it on cruise control and beat a Big 12 opponent, which I thought was important to Iowa State. So I liked what I saw. It wasn't the sexiest win we've seen in Hilton Coliseum this year, but you'll absolutely take it against a team who TCU's 1-7 in the league, but I think they're a decent 1-7 basketball team. I think that's a team where something will click and they'll win some games by the end of the year.
I don't
look forward to Iowa State going to Fort Worth at the end of the year. I'll put it that way.
No, that's a markedly improved basketball team. I mean, what I take away is even though that there is a little bit of the point of concern at the end of the Texas game.
Yeah.
Texas is good. I know they've been losing, but that's a talented team that I think will find a way into the top half, maybe bottom end of the top half. But you know, that's neither here nor there. What they did against two of the nation's best field goal percentage defenses, it's just shred them.
Yeah.
Whether it be zone. I know TCU came out and, man, you know, they'd been switching things up, as Hoiberg had alluded to before the game. You know, shot pretty well in the first half, then 63% in the second half against a team that's holding teams to 35%. TCU hangs in because the way most teams kind of have been against Iowa State lately, hitting three is at a much higher rate than they usually do. Part of that is Cyclones were defending everything else really well, and that was what was open to them, and they happened to hit them at a higher clip. So
you
shred basically the Big 12's two best defenses in consecutive games by being efficient and explosive. I mean, that's back to that good place you talked about.
Yeah.
That's a very good place to be in, you know, shooting the basketball like that against teams that don't give up that kind of percentage.
Will be interesting. 8 o'clock tonight, we'll have our Iowa Clinic Men's Center game chat, of course, when Iowa State and Kansas go at it tonight on ESPN. If you hadn't heard, Kansas opened at a 6.5-point favorite, I think, tonight. Ken Pom, I believe, has Kansas winning by 8 at like a 24% clip for an Iowa State win. Before we wrap this up, we're going to do a short one today, folks, because Rob does need to get on the road. We'll touch on a couple football things here before we leave, too. Looking ahead at this week in the Big 12, good game, Rob, tomorrow night. West Virginia goes to Oklahoma. That's an important game in the Big 12 race. West Virginia is at 6-2 right now. So they're one of those teams that Iowa State needs to keep an eye on. Oklahoma's at 5-4 in the league. They're a weird team. Good luck predicting any Oklahoma game this year. Oklahoma State is at Texas on Wednesday night. TCU Baylor. Kansas State is at Texas Tech. It's a weird league. And sure. I thought we all knew
last
that.
Last week
we were botched.
I talked you into Baylor at K-State. I thought they'd found themselves, and then K-State gets that win, and then K-State can't. It competed hard against Kansas, but you know, had too big a hill to climb after they got down. And then Oklahoma State just has all that energy, comes out, looks to have Oklahoma
who knows
buried, and Oklahoma responds by you know, not only digging themselves out, but you know, really sticking it to the Cowboys. So yeah, it's tough to even tougher to pick these games than usual.
If Kansas beats Iowa State tonight, is it over?
I think it is. I mean, once Kansas gets over that hump against the one team that beat them, and that's a small hump since they're 7-1.
Yeah.
They're two games up on every. Yeah, I mean, if West Virginia goes and wins, you know, they're still in the running, but they're not going to upend Kansas. I think it's gotten to the point where if somebody's going to do it, it's going to be Iowa State.
I agree.
So, if they are unable to pull out the win tonight, you can go ahead and give the Jayhawks their 11th straight, at least a share, and this one won't be a share. It'll be outright.
I would agree, because I agree. Let's move on quickly to football, as Iowa State picked up a commitment on Sunday in a 6'6", 305-pound offensive tackle out of Coffeyville Community College in Kansas. J.P. Filbert is his name. Former Arizona State commit, chose Iowa State over Kansas. He also visited Colorado State and South Florida. It will be, from what I understand, Rob, an interesting couple of days. His National Signing Day is obviously on Wednesday. I think Iowa State, I know they had some guys in over the weekend who they're trying to keep. It gets difficult when you are perceived to be a coach on the hot seat. I mean, I don't think perceived. I think Paul Rhodes is on the hot seat. Mm-hmm. There's no question about that. And it gets tough to – the recruiting trail gets tougher. This is a nice pickup, though. I like what Iowa State has done football-wise the last couple of weeks. When you look at Josh Thomas, the running back, I think that's a guy who can play right away. Josh Coleman, you talked with him, the defensive
intriguing,
tackle.
Yeah, intriguing guy.
Yeah. There's some pieces here. We'll see. I mean, you're not going to see me go crazy and salivate over these guys because I think I've learned, as have you, the more years you do this, it gets, you know, you just kind of need to take the wait and see approach. But nonetheless, if you can get a 6'6", 305-pound offensive tackle, JUCO guy, at least he's got the body to help you right away. Does he have the game? I don't know. But he's got the body to do it, which is encouraging.
Yep. And it's important, I think, to get these guys that are, you know, have those Big 12-ready bodies, particularly if, you know, you get a back out or two here down the stretch. You know, you've got guys you can point to. You know, they've built up this JUCO class nicely with the four mid-year guys, too. To make the team immediately better, at least in theory. I mean, when you look at what some of these guys have done before, you would think that will be the case, and certainly in some areas of need like defensive line. So, and O-line.
Yeah.
So we'll, you know, like you said, you absolutely have to be wait and see how many of these guys stay on campus all the time, how many of these guys actually develop into the type of player that can produce for you.
Mm-hmm.
But encouraging. Down the stretch, after obviously some tough moments along this recruiting process,
I think there's a feeling out there that if a couple of things go Iowa State's way, if they catch a couple of breaks, this could be a exciting National Signing Day. Usually, there's not many surprises, things that go mm-hmm. down on National Signing Day. There haven't been for a while now, but I have a feeling that Wednesday could be fairly interesting.
Yeah. Well, you knew what the story was going to be last year, and hey, we got Alan Lazard.
Yeah.
And then who else is around him? This year, you don't really know. I mean, you've got some nice guys. You've got some guys that hung in from the beginning, like Bobby McMillan, who's a nice player
mm-hmm.
that they offered, I believe, shortly after last year's signing day, and he signed or, you know, committed pretty quickly. So, I think it could be eventful. I'll be on the road tomorrow morning, but we'll certainly be mining the
Wednesday
the info heading into Wednesday.
Get rested up. Wednesday is going to be a busy day for us, but we're looking forward to it. I actually like National Signing Day. Iowa State has the big press conference, and actually our annual football recruiting party, usually it's on National Signing Day. It's on February 11th this year, so it is a week from Wednesday at the Keg Stand in West Des Moines. Of course, our special guests who are always in attendance, they will be in attendance once again, 7 o'clock again, February 11th at the Keg Stand in West Des Moines, the annual Cyclone Fanatic recruiting party. Quickly before we go, though, I don't think it's – football's not the hot topic right now, obviously, with what's going on in basketball, but I don't think that this Josh Thomas, the running back, has gotten enough play. You know, the Ozigbo story, when he committed to Nebraska, when he backed out of Iowa State and went to Nebraska, was such a big deal. But, I mean, I think you could make a argument for Josh Thomas right there, that Iowa State actually caught a really nice break by being able to get that kid to fill that scholarship.
Well, yeah, and especially after he'd gone to Wisconsin.
Yeah.
I mean, again, the running back power that is.
Mm-hmm.
It's just when, again, it's the accumulation. It's coming off a couple of bad seasons, so people see – this guy decided to go into Nebraska because of, you know, all this, and that's a big deal. Alarm, alarm, alarm. And this other guy, okay, well, I think some people then, you know, kind of go, okay, well, that's nice, but, and then they draw back on the couple tough seasons in a row. That if it were reversed, if I was, say, we're coming up back-to-back bowl seasons, they'd be like, oh, well, this guy chose Nebraska. Okay, well, that's fine. And then, oh, we got this guy who was going to go to Wisconsin. When they got all these running backs and all that,
yeah,
you know, the situation would be reversed in terms of focus on one versus the other.
Quickly to wrestling. They beat Oklahoma 26-18.
Got a couple nice wins in there, too.
On Saturday,
Earl Hall.
So was that you know, and I don't ever pretend to be a wrestling expert, but I am. I don't know. For some reason, though, Rob, I find myself being a little bit gravitated towards this Iowa State wrestling team. I feel like I have some potential to make a little bit of noise come tournament time. Am I wrong? I'm just watching trends. Again, I'm no expert. There are people listening to this that know way more about the sport than I do.
But
I'm watching these results come in every week, and I'm intrigued by this groove.
Yeah. The real, I guess, point of concern is your big-time match. I mean, take out the tournaments, which some have performed very well in.
Yeah.
But your big when it was rubber meet the road time, Iowa – some guys just did not perform to the level, the expectation of the program. Oklahoma State, Iowa State is a potentially better team than Oklahoma State. Had a chance to knock them off after, I can't remember what it was, seven straight losses to them. And a couple guys didn't come through as expected. It started out of the gate, you know, gave up a big lead and lost that match, kind of set the tone. So you come back against Oklahoma, who's down, get some nice wins. They've got guys, they've got a number of guys who could be All-Americans, and I think Gadsden certainly has shown that he can be national champion. So they do have some nice individuals, which of course it's an individual sport, and I think they could make some noise in March, but they need to. Kevin Jackson said it after the Oklahoma State dual meet loss I'm paraphrasing, but they've got to find a way to always have that edge and always want to dominate, and not just want to dominate, but persist, you know, not allow themselves not to dominate the opposition. And that's from weight class to weight class. And in that meet, it didn't quite happen. So it's interesting because they are building nicely toward March, guys getting nice wins.
Earl Hall beat the number two kid in the country.
Knocking guys off along the way here. It's going to be a huge march for that program because they feel like they've got guys who can compete for the medal stand and at a number of weights, and we'll see how it goes. I mean, definitely still on the rise. It's just the Oklahoma State one. I know they're kicking themselves over that one because they could have won. That came down to the last match.
It would have really made a splash.
And they lost it by one.
Yeah.
You know, 4-3 at heavyweight. So, now that's perception versus progress, you know, and perception doesn't trump progress. I think the progress is there, and they've got a real chance to perform really well at the NCAA championships.
Rob, you got a long drive ahead of you, my friend.
Yes, I do. I think the roads will get good.
Are you nervous?
Looks like Lawrence got 1 inch of snow out of all this, so I think we'll be good. Nervous about the drive?
Yeah, about the drive. Are you nervous?
Well, I'll probably move the seat way up. Put my hands, you know,
white knuckle
like this, and barely peer over the wheel.
Well, if it gets bad, turn around. I don't want anything to happen.
I'll drive it like a grandma.
Thanks for covering for me tonight.
Hey, my pleasure. You've got any time, man. Any time.
Trying to think of if Baby Williams would arrive today.
It would be right when Nazlong is hitting the three at the buzzer to win the game.
Nazareth Williams.
if it were to happen, at that time, you'd have to, you know, it could be Nazareth, it could be Bryce, it could be
Monte
George,
Williams. Yeah, George
Yorgos.
Williams would be perfect. Yorgos Williams. How epic would that be? No, I would love to name my kid Naz.
That would be great.
Naz
and you
Williams.
Could add.
Go off tonight, Naz.
Yeah.
It'll be a fun game. You'll enjoy your time. Tell all the guys down there hello for me.
I will.
Travel safely. And we will see you on National Signing Day.
Yes, sir.
Will be a busy day. And, you know, I understand Iowa State fans a little bit frustrated with football. Not a little bit. They are. But I would also encourage you to have an open mind, you know, on Wednesday and give it its – because even if you're anti-Rhodes or whatever right now, these guys are going to be playing for Iowa State
yep.
for the next guy too, if that's the way you approach it. So it is worth paying attention to. And I think that again, as I mentioned, there's some potential here for this to be a fairly interesting day, where national signing days lately have not been mm-hmm. for Iowa State, because you've pretty much known what was going to happen. So we'll keep you covered, of course, at CycloneFanatic.com. Check out Rob's coverage tonight from Lawrence, as he will be covering the Big Monday game between Iowa State and Kansas. I will launch the Iowa Clinic game chat at 7:45, 8 o'clock tip tonight. So we'll launch the chat at 7:45, and we'll have coverage for you. So thanks, Rob. Drive safe, all right, buddy?
Hey, thanks for having me on. All right. I will.
He's Rob Gray. I'm Chris Williams signing off. Have a great Monday, everybody. We'll have more podcasts here in a couple of days. Take care.